Be seated. The Lord be with you. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means great teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what she had seen and what she had heard. And this is the word of the Lord. One of my favorite people in all the world is a guy by the name of Ed Kelly. I met Ed when I was working for the State University of New York system in the counsel's office. Ed was the assistant to the president and counsel for the State University campus at Brockport. And we became friends and more than friends. Ed was just a wonderful person. I never heard him speak a harsh word. I never heard him doing a nasty thing. He was just a good man. He had a sparkling Irish sense of humor. And we became very good friends. The last time I saw Ed was down in Savannah, Georgia. We were at a gathering of the National Association of College and University Attorneys. And Ed was there. He had become the general counsel to Eastern Tennessee State University. It's a big university in Eastern Tennessee. It's got a medical school. I think it has a law school. It's a very big place. And it's fortunate that Ed was there, because Ed told me this story. And Ed is while he has a wonderful personality, a great sense of humor, he is no dope. He's not inclined to hallucination. And he said to me, he said, you know, I was at work one day, and I didn't feel great, but I didn't feel terribly bad either. And at 10 o'clock, I collapsed in my office. Fortunately, his president, the president of the university, whose office was right close by, was a medical doctor. So the doc examined Ed, got an ambulance, had him taken straight to the university hospital to have a neurological exam done. After that exam, the doctor came into his room and said, Mr. Kelly, you are a very sick man. You have a brain tumor. It has to be operated on immediately. We've scheduled you for surgery this afternoon. And Ed said to me, for the first time in my life, he said, I was genuinely frightened. This is the first time I ever confronted the possibility of my own death. And here I am in Tennessee, and my family is in New York, and I feel so alone, and I felt so frightened. It was a very dark time in my friend Ed's life. And very early on the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, it was a very dark time in the life of Mary Magdalene. Mary had been Jesus' friend. She loved him. He had healed her of many things. And she was loyal to him. In one story in the Gospel of John, we hear how she came to Simon the Pharisee's house, took out a bowl, and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And when Simon said, hey, what are you doing? What are you letting her do that for? He said, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, those who have been forgiven much, love much. She loved him a great deal. And over the past few days, she had seen this friend of hers, this person who had been so good to her. She had seen him arrested, dragged off by soldiers, mocked, scourged, humiliated, made to carry the instrument of his own execution to the place where he would die naked, where he would die alone, where his bruised body would hang for 3 hours in agonizing death. And while Mary may have thought, like the rest of them did, that this was the Messiah, after Jesus' death, neither she nor anyone else believed that Jesus was anything other than a wonderful man with a great message who couldn't possibly be the Messiah because the Messiah wouldn't die like that. She had no expectation that he would rise from the dead. Even though he said things about it, no one understood him. And so off she went, John says, while it is still dark. And light and darkness in the Gospel of John is always more than just the time of day. It's a way that John helps us to know the mental and spiritual state of the people he's writing about. She was in darkness, sadness, gloom. All the hope she had invested in Jesus was gone. But she still was loyal to him. She was carrying ointments and oils to honor his body in death, and that's all she wanted to be, and she also wanted to be close to him. The Jews believed at the time that the spirit of a person who died lingered around the body for about 4 days, and then it was gone. So she still had some time to be close to him, even though he is dead. And when she gets to the tomb, what does she find? insult has been added to injury. The tomb is open. The body is not there. Now, she's not thinking he rose. She's thinking grave robbers. Just like you and I wouldn't think if we went to the cemetery to honor one of our loved ones, if we found their grave open, we wouldn't think that they were, you know, going on vacation to Florida. We would think that someone or something had opened that grave. It's exactly what she thought. She goes to Peter and John. In Jewish law, you needed two male witnesses to testify to anything. They're essential to the story. And what can they testify to? They run out there, one faster, one slower, and they find nothing. And that's what's important. There is no one there. The grave garments are there, the shroud, the head covering, but no body. Jesus is not there. Peter doesn't know what to make of it. John, he writes, believes, but we don't know what he believes because they weren't yet aware that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So perhaps he believes that God's up to something, but God knows what. And they leave and go home, leaving the weeping, grieving Mary Magdalene to her tears. And as she sits outside the tomb and looks in, she sees two angels, perhaps not knowing they're angels. And they see her crying, and they ask the question, "Woman, why do you weep? Why do you weep?" Probably she thought the answer was pretty obvious, so she turned away from them, and she sees another presence there. She's aware of the gardener. And the gardener speaks to her too. Same question. "Woman, why do you weep? Who is it that you're looking for?" Good questions for us, by the way. When we weep, why is it that we weep? And who, really, are we looking for? Mary says to the gardener, as she has said to others, "Sir, they've taken my Lord's body, and I don't know where. If you took him someplace, let me know so I can honor his body." That's all she wants to do. She wants to be faithful and give dignity to the bruised, battered body of Jesus. And her life changes with one word, and that is her name, Mary. And in that instant, she knows. She turns, and through her tears, she sees who is speaking to her. "Rabboni," she says, "my great teacher." And then he says, don't cling to me. Don't try to hug me. I've got work to do, and you've got work to do. See, I'm ascending to the Father. That's something I need to do so I can send the Spirit. And you need to tell my brothers." You know, that's the first time in the gospel that the disciples are referred to as brothers. He said, "Go and tell my brothers, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And she goes, she is known in Eastern churches as the apostle to the apostles. The word apostle means to be sent, the apostello, to be sent forth, and Mary is the one who is sent forth to those who are sent forth. Why should we care about this story? If Jesus' death only matters to him, it is an interesting fact of history. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus did, in fact, bodily rise from the dead. And the reason for that is, if he hadn't, we wouldn't be here. There is no reason his disciples would have believed, would have wanted to fabricate a story of resurrection, because there was nothing in it for them. The Vatican didn't have their first Raphael. They didn't have their first fresco. It hadn't even been built. There was no money in Jesus' cult. There was just danger. The Romans crucified him precisely because they wanted his followers to go away, to go to ground, to get lost. And so why does this small group of, let's put it bluntly, dopes, simple working people, illiterates for the most part, people who aren't at all inclined to philosophy or theology, they are fishermen and farmers, they're working people. Why would they, in almost an instant, turn from cowardly people fearfully running for their lives from the Romans and the Jewish authorities? Why would they turn from that into people who proclaimed at the risk of their own lives, "He is risen. I've seen him. I've touched him"? There is no possible explanation for that other than they did see him. They did touch him. And seeing him, they realized he was what they thought he was all along. He was the Messiah. He was the prophet sent like Moses, but he was different because they expected a king, and what they got was the Son of God. What they got was the one who was going to free them, not from Rome, but from sin and from death. And his death has significance for us, because when he speaks Mary's name, he tells us who he is too. "I am the good shepherd. I call my sheep by name. I keep them safe going in and going out. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." We are his sheep. He's laid down his life for us too. And so the one who said on the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" becomes one in suffering with all those who feel God forsaken. He becomes one with all who grieve, with all who have suffered loss in their life, who've lost a loved one. Now, we all will suffer. We all will experience our own crosses. We all will lose people who are dear to us. We will all ultimately lose our health and our own lives. And what does his resurrection mean for us? It means that he's with us. It means that he continues to call his beloved by name, and that we are safe. We are safe, whatever that means. When Ed Kelly, frightened in his hospital room, was facing the possibility of his own death, and by the way, he came through the operation just fine, he heard a voice. This man who is practical, who is an attorney, he heard a voice. The voice, he said to me as he told me the story, he said, "Rich, it was as clear as your voice is to me now." And this is what he heard. "Ed," he was called by name. "Ed, I am with you. I have always been with you, and I will never leave you." Is that not the Easter message that the risen Lord gives to all of us and each one of us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're suffering or how deeply we're suffering? He is with us. He has always been with us from day one, and he will never leave us. Amen.